Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Talking all things Tennessee Titans, and to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Nick Suss, who covers the Titans for the Tennessean. Nick, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, y'all. How are y'all?
We're great, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Nick, let's just start with the game, 52-14. The final for the Titans against the Lions. It was gross. It was disgusting. It's become somewhat the expectation for this Titans team, particularly on special teams. I've never seen anything like what we saw on Sunday on the special team side of things. You know, Brian Callahan got up there yesterday and talked about Colt Anderson and the confidence he's got in him. But what do you make of just the operation right now on special teams? And are you surprised that there was not a coaching move made yesterday?
Optically, yeah. I mean, it would have made sense to make a coaching move, but logistically, these mistakes seem like they are somehow both because of and beyond coaching. Like, you can replace the coach, you can do all that stuff. I don't know if that's necessarily going to fix everything right now. Like, it does set a precedent, it shows a symbol. I get all of that from that perspective, but if you look at what's going on special teams from the big picture, especially in these return phases, there is just so much being messed up that I look at the players, I look at the operation, I look at the coaches, and I just think maybe it's better to try and fix it from the inside than it is to just start over. I really don't know where to start. I am not a special teams expert, but if you look at the personnel on the field, if you look at the fact that they're seemingly so sold out on protecting the punter because of the blocks early in the year that it makes sense that there's not enough speed on the field to keep up with Khalif Raymond. If you look at the fact that Stonehouse isn't putting the ball that high in the air, like, a lot of these can be coaching issues and a lot of these can be personnel issues. I really don't know where the differentiation is, and you bring in a new coach and the personnel. Oh, just stepped on my cat. That stuck.
Oh, so, no. Is he or she okay?
She is okay, yeah.
Okay, good.
I pace when I'm on the radio, live radio. Mistakes are made. I don't know. Long answer. I don't know if you fix the problem. You address something by making a change, but I don't know if that fixes anything.
I just want you to know, especially because she's okay, that will absolutely become a drop that we will very much enjoy in the future.
Okay. Yeah, go for it.
That's almost as good as me blowing up a chair on here.
Yeah, that was an all-time moment.
Yeah, I guess it's not quite that, but man, I'm glad to hear she's okay. Well, I was going to ask Nick if, you know, part of the issue with special teams could be the ball bouncing the wrong way.
Yeah.
I imagine you've had a little bit of reaction to your Q&A with Rand Carthon. So, first of all, just, you know, behind the scenes, I guess. So basically you just approached him in the locker room and said, hey, can you talk for a few minutes? And is that how it went? And then, yeah. I guess, really, what did you think of – first of all, how is Kaharsky not like there, like, hey, I want a question too?
Yeah.
Like, how did you escape his clutches? And then what was your takeaway from Rand's answers to your questions?
I mean, I can't imagine that people care too much about the nitty-gritty of beat dynamics, but I will say that people were talking to Arden Key, and he was on the exact opposite side of the locker room, and I waited to see when nobody was looking to make my approach. So a little bit
yes!
of confusion on my part.
That's what I'm talking about. I think
about.
We love that stuff, right?
We do.
We love that stuff.
That's
good
a job.
Job.
Well done.
Well done.
But, no, I more than anything appreciated him saying yes. So I will give him that credit there. I don't know. If he had said the ball bounce thing after Chicago or after New York or after Indianapolis, I probably would have agreed. I mean, it's tough to say that when you've just lost by 38 points, but football is such a complicated game. And the ball bounce thing, yeah, it's true that when the ball hits the ground, there's about a 50-50 shot of who's going to pick it up. There's no real correlation between offense and defense. Like, fundamentally, that is accurate. And beyond that, the Titans needed a lot more than ball bounces to win that Detroit game. I wrote this Sunday night. I think that the thing that's frustrating about the Titans right now is you look at the issues that they had in those close losses to Chicago or New York or Indy, and you look at these last 2 weeks against Buffalo and Detroit, and the Titans haven't changed a bit. The only thing that's changed is that Buffalo and Detroit are much, much better than those teams were at the beginning of the year. So when you're one ball bounce away or you're two ball bounces away against those teams, when you're playing Super Bowl contenders, you're 5 and 6 ball bounces away. And that's not a competitive football game when you're 5 and 6 ball bounces away. And so you can look at, oh, the fumbles went the wrong way this time, or you can look at, man, that interception Rudolph threw in the first quarter was a mistake. He shouldn't have let go of the ball. And these are repeat offenses. These are things that the Titans were doing in September, and they're still doing them heading into November. And I don't know if they've got another team like Buffalo or Detroit on the schedule, but when you got Minnesota and you got Washington and two games against Houston and some of these really, really good teams on the schedule, you're going to need more than ball bounces. You're going to need to have the ball bounce and also correct the mistakes on special teams and correct the turnovers you're making. And you're going to need to do so many things more to actually improve rather than just get to a baseline of get better than you were when you played week one against a rookie quarterback who'd never played in the NFL before, or when you were week two against a team that has since fired its coach. Like, getting back to that baseline of, oh, if the ball bounces our way, you're still average at best.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So, Nick, obviously, I mean, you're 1-6 if you're the Titans. You know, the deadline's coming up next week. You look at the schedule, and it's just hard to find many more wins for the Titans on the schedule right now. And in the meantime, you got a first-year head coach that's trying to navigate all that and manage all that. So what do you make of the challenge for Brian Callahan as they move forward here with what is going to be a tidal wave of negativity from the fan base and what could include a lot more losing coming up? How do you kind of view the challenge he has in front of him in terms of managing that and getting through that on the other side?
Yeah, I wrote about this morning. It's like there's so much comparison made to what happened in San Francisco in 2017 or Cincinnati in 2019, Detroit in 2021 of, oh, well, those teams lost a bunch early and figured it out and turned it around. So just have that patience of Dan Campbell did it and Kyle Shanahan did it and Zach Taylor did it. So if those guys could start 0-10-1, Titans at 1-6 really isn't that bad. So I understand that part of it, but the Titans have such a unique situation compared to those teams of none of those teams went and spent $280 million or whatever it was heading into year one. Like, those were teams that were very much built young and saying, let's go from the ground up. This is a Titans team that was sold as we are trying to compete right now. And I think that's what makes it tougher for Callahan is that he comes into a year after 9 months, 10 months of hype of, oh, this team is going for it. This team isn't trying to start from the ground up. And when you have players who are ostensibly supposed to be in their prime of a Ridley or Snead or Cushenberry or Pollard or some of these guys who you went out and got, that makes it tougher to say, oh, well, if you start 1-11, but you finish 3-2, you're building for a future because these guys are going to get better. Because we have no guarantee that these guys aren't at their best right now. They could have a long prime, but you look at positions like receiver and corner and running back, these necessarily aren't your long shelf life positions in the NFL. So I think that makes Callahan's position even tougher because you're selling, I'm building for the future. I'm building for next year. We're stacking up these draft picks. We are trying to have this stockpile of young talent for the future, but your core isn't necessarily future leaning. And that makes it tough for people to grab onto, well, you got Latham, you got Sweat, you got McCreary and Brownlee. And beyond that, not too many pieces that you look at and they're like, 25 and under, and this is going to be our Amon-Ra St. Brown, or this is going to be our George Kittle, or this is going to be our Joe Mixon, that those teams that you compare yourself to had. And without that already existing young core, I don't know, it's going to be an uphill battle to sell the, well, we're 1-11 or 2-10 or whatever it is, but look at all these pieces that are going to grow.
No, absolutely. It's a great point. I do think, obviously, a lot of things right now would look different if the quarterback play were better this year. What do you anticipate? Do you feel like, from Will Levis, do you feel like this break could help him at all? Where do you think it's going with him?
No, I do think that the mental reset's going to be good for him. I am very much a man of my predictions, and I spent the entire year saying, hey, September and October might be rough. Let's give him a chance in November and December. So I'm still giving him a chance. We knew that there was going to be an adjustment period. The adjustment period was a little bit worse than we expected, I will say. But I am still giving the grace of this was always supposed to be a learn-on-the-job situation where he is given the chance to emerge late in the season. That emergence has not happened yet, but it's really not that late in the season yet. So I say give him the chance. I say let's see if he develops the way that we thought he might. And if he doesn't, you have a really, really tough situation, really tough decision to make in January and beyond. But until I see that full scope of a season, see that arc, I am so not ready to say, let's start over and burn it down.
Nick Suss does an outstanding job covering the Tennessee Titans for the Tennessean. Nick, really good stuff as always. Appreciate you taking time to be with us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thank y'all.
Yep, Nick Suss from the Tennessean, our guest on Robbie and Rexrow. We'll react to what Nick had to say, more of your thoughts to get to on the Titans as well. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
And you bring in a new coach and the personnel. Oh, I just stepped on my cat. That stuck.
Oh, so, no. Is he or she okay?
She is okay, yeah.
Okay, good.
I pace when I'm on the radio, live radio. Mistakes are made. I don't know. Long answer. I don't know if you fix the problem. You address something by making a change, but I don't know if that fixes anything.
I just want you to know, especially because she's okay, that will absolutely become a drop that we will very much enjoy in the future.
Okay. Yeah, go for it. Go for it.
That's almost as good as me blowing up a chair on here.
We appreciate so much the hazards that people go through to join us here on our esteemed program. Nick Suss fighting through it. The cat showing some toughness in the last segment. We appreciate it.
We should have asked her name. I hope Nameless Cat is okay. I'll find out.
As long as it's not Toonses, we're good.
Well, that's a great cat name, though.
It would be a great cat name.
My wife's college roommate's cat was named Toonses, obviously after Toonses.
Yes.
So there you go.
There you go. We appreciate the sacrifice of Nick Suss's cat for us to put together a very good segment there with Nick Suss. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. So, I mean, we asked about that yesterday, Joe. It seems like Nick Suss just kind of walked up to Rand Carthon in the locker room and was like, hey, you want to talk? And he said, yeah, sure, why not? How about that?
Kaharski, Auden, what, you what, trying to get traded out of here? What, huh? And over behind his back, Nick Suss is just absolutely crushing him with the Rand Carthon interview. Yeah. Oh, PK.
What are we doing?
I can't wait to give him crap tomorrow. I will do so respectfully, though, because we don't want PK to feel disrespected.
We must make sure to not schedule a guest for tomorrow at 7:30 either.
I got to go back and look at PK's interview with Arden Kale. I hope it was really good.
I bet it was.
I hope it was really worth it, PK. While Rand Carthon spilling the beans to Nick Suss on the other side of the line.
I mean, I will say, I watched Arden Key play Sunday. I was like, man, this guy's playing like a guy that really wants to get out of here, man.
Lions, please trade for
please
me.
Please, come get me. Hey, Dan Campbell was pretty excited yesterday at his press conference. They asked him about, like, hey, could like a move be coming? And he was like, I don't know. Could be. Might happen.
And then someone tried to ask another question, and Dave Burkett just, no. Seriously. Is something happening? And then Dan Campbell did a little jump.
Yeah, he like
at the
jumped
podium.
Up in the air.
Could be. And he jumped.
Yeah.
It was really
maybe it's Arden Key. Who knows? I mean, if Arden Key plays like that every week, you'd take him.
If that's what you saw of him and you didn't see much else, you're
that was reminiscent of like the Andre Dillard days. It's like, wow, this Arden Key is just lighting up training camp.
Yeah.
What's going on?
He did have the one game in New Orleans last year. We're like, holy cow, what a signing.
Yeah. He played great on Sunday.
He was one of the bright spots for the Titans, along with Calvin Ridley.
That was about it. I'm trying to think if anybody else really stood out.
Pollard.
NWI.
Pollard was very good, as he has been. NWI. There was some offensive line play that was actually not bad.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they rebounded from, I think, maybe their worst week against the Bills to not be bad. But, again, the Lions don't have edge rushers, so you got to keep that in mind.
As Stilly has pointed out on Twitter, I asked Nick Suss in the last segment about Colt Anderson. I mean, Colt Anderson has not been fired by the Titans.
Yep.
Brian Callahan got up there yesterday and talked about, watching film with Colt and working through things with Colt. So, I mean, it tells me that he's not going anywhere. But, as Stilly points out on Twitter, remember that since Amy Adams Strunk became controlling owner, Ken Whisenhunt, John Robinson, and Mike Vrabel were all fired on Tuesdays. I thought Vrabel was fired on Monday. I guess I'm misremembering that. But apparently all fired on Tuesdays, according to Stilly.
Did we then, and I'm asking you because I truly don't remember, on Black Monday proclaim that we were right all along? Told you, idiots, Vrabel getting fired. Come on.
I don't think so. I think we were still in wait
and see. Still kind of like, okay, let's see how the week plays out.
I will say we did not anticipate the Tuesday that John Robinson got fired that he was going to get fired. That is something that we did not predict.
For sure. I will also say I know for sure that the special teams firing that we previously alluded to, which was Bobby April in 2016, was definitely a Monday.
Right.
That was definitely it might have even happened Sunday night. But Monday was Mike Mularkey talking about it. Saying, no.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Amy didn't tell me to do this. No.
I don't think it's happening this week.
No. The way Callahan answered the question, no, he's not. And so, like I said earlier on the show, I mean, I wouldn't have guessed that Brian Callahan's impulse would have been to fire him anyway. I mean, look, Mike Vrabel didn't want to fire Craig Aukerman. At some point, it finally had to happen. But, I mean, to me, this was only happening with interference from above.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Because beyond the coaching part, and Nick Suss laid it out, it is at times, particularly on special teams, kind of hard to divvy up the blame of, well, all right, how much of it is the coaching? How much of it is the players? And, Brian Callahan did get up there and say, they were having such a problem protecting the punter earlier in the year that they did sacrifice some speed to make sure that they're getting the punt off. So there's that you're contending with as well, which is not good.
That is an interesting
an interesting development there. But Stonehouse, right? Like Stonehouse clearly can punt it a mile. The hang time by the numbers has not been great. Callahan talked about it yesterday. It's right around 4, and you need it to be more than that. So there's a lot of different things that go into it. But I guess my point at the end of the day is, like, whether it's the hang time, it's the adjustments you've made to try to protect the punter, you can blame the players and the roster to a point, right? But doesn't that also come down to coaching? Like, isn't that what you're paid to do, is to find solutions to all that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I just
– like, don't you have to work with Ryan Stonehouse throughout the week and be like, hey, man, we're going to drill this into your head until we can no longer drill it into your head that you have to get more hang time on these punts?
Right. Like, I typically, and this goes back to the Aukerman stuff, like when Stilly was trying to, like, blame him for missing field goals, I'm like, I'm taking specialist performance for the most part, good and bad. I'm not going to credit, like, again, Justin Tucker, no one's, well, I guess Baltimore.
Hey, Nick Folk's kicking great under Colt Anderson.
Well, that's right. Like, the great kickers, Mark Moseley won 82 NFL MVP. No one was like, oh, that's special teams coaching of Washington, But you're right. When it's something that is compromising your return units, I mean, you have to work on it with them.
You got
to
fix it.
Myself. But I think, again, even with that, just some of the just gigantic drive a monster truck through it lanes that are developing in these returns, again, just I understand that they could break down the film for us and say, here's all that. But, like, you have to, as a coach, you have to
yeah.
deal with that stuff. And it's an interesting point that Suss had there about, you know, trying to focus on protection so much that you don't have speed. But it's like really, you're only asking people to, like, get in the way of someone for, like, a second or 0.8 of a second
yeah.
and then run down the field.
Yeah.
Like, in these punt blocks, they've had just, like, here you go. Here, can I vault? Here, step on my hand, and I'll vault you to the punter so you can hit him. I mean, it's like, I don't think you need to, like, put in Peter Skoronski, you know, to be able to get this done.
Latham as the personal
yeah.
protector?
Yeah.
You will not get back here to Ryan Stonehouse.
Hey, Tavondre, I know you got to play on the next series, but we really need you on punt, buddy. Yeah, I mean, this definitely.
I'd love to see it.
little fake punt with Latham throwing to Sweat. Can you imagine?
Good athletes, both of them.
Yeah. So yeah, this goes to coaching and like the focus this week, and especially this week, and then we'll see if they can have an event-free day. But like through the season, like the sensitivity of any sort of miscue in special teams
yeah.
is and should be high.
Yeah.
Like, you're so out of mulligans, you're me on the golf course.
Yeah, it's not good. There is something else Suss brought up that's generated a lot of reaction that I want to get back into coming up next. We'll do that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025. Lance in the YouTube chat. Termination Tuesdays is what you call
it. Yeah.
Wiz and Hunt.
Terminations and tacos, everybody.
Robinson, Vrabel. I mean, when was Malarkey fired? I guess it wasn't Tuesday. If he's not in Stilley's list. It doesn't have to be Tuesday.
It was definitely during the week. I do think that was Monday. They played that playoff game in New England on a Saturday night for sure.
Yes.
And so I do believe it was a Monday.
Okay.
So it's not every time with Amy. By the way, I have an update for everybody concerned about Nick Suss's cat. Her name is Reese, and he wants it to be clear. She stuck her paw out from under the bed, and I clipped it. Didn't full-on step on her back. We can make that clear.
Okay, so. She's fine. So he's just seeing what's going on.
That said, those details won't necessarily be remembered, Nick, when we play that over and over again for our enjoyment. But
sometimes the truth doesn't really matter.
It's good to know. Exactly. Yeah.
We're just going to play.
Oh, I stuck to my cat.
I will say, it really doesn't approach you breaking the chair. I mean, that was – I know you're trying to get yourself out of that. You breaking the chair was my favorite moment in the history of this program.
I need, I know. I need something else to replace that for embarrassment, and I probably won't get it.
Nick Kieser can confirm that Mike Malarkey apparently fired on a Monday.
There you go. So, thank you. Thank you, Nick.
Speaking of Nick Suss did bring up his interview with Rand Carthon. Lots of reaction to that. We continue to get it. I mean, we got some of it when I was talking about the Preds, and Dave on the text line said, maybe puck bouncing the wrong way for the Preds. Bad bounces of the puck. The bad bounces of the football. As Nick pointed out, I think what we're seeing the last 2 weeks here, it goes beyond the quarterback. It goes beyond bad bounces of the ball. I think it just shows you the gap right now between where the Titans are and where the elite teams in the NFL are. Buffalo, very, very good. Detroit's better than very, very good. Detroit is probably, at worst, the second best team in the league. Right now behind Kansas City.
I think they're both better than very, very good. You're just a Buffalo hater. I think that could be the Super Bowl.
I think Detroit's better than Buffalo.
Maybe. But, I mean, like, Buffalo. Like,
they're good. They're
Buffalo's
really good.
Buffalo's got to be aren't they a top four team?
They're really good.
Right now,
look, I will raise my hand and say that I missed the boat on picking Buffalo to take a step back this year. It turns out Josh Allen is very good.
And so is Keon Coleman, by the way.
Yeah, Keon Coleman has a heck of a catch
he
made the other day. But it shows you. Where the Titans, to varying degrees in both games, got off to good starts, right? Like, in the Buffalo game, you had a 10-point lead, you're playing really well, and then, you know, on a dime, it turns. Detroit, it's 14-14 early in the second quarter, and then you go through this stretch where you can't cover anything on special teams, you're turning the ball over, Like, it just shows you how big of a gap there is right now between the Titans and some of these upper echelon teams. And, you know, it's not going to be that way Sunday. There's not a huge gap between the Titans and the Patriots. Now, that doesn't mean the Titans are going to win. Like, the Patriots, I thought, did some impressive things this last Sunday against the Jets. But right now, and Sus brings up another point, which I think is a really good one. You know, we've talked about the Lions in 2021. We've talked about the Niners, like some of these other teams that they've been compared to going through this right now. And some of those teams did have like foundational, young, mostly skill position players. And the Titans don't really have that right now. Like, they've got a left tackle that you feel pretty good about. They have Devondre Sweat that you took in the second round. We'll see on Skoronski. Like, I do think Skoronski has played better lately, certainly than he was earlier in the year, but he's not playing like, you know, the all-pro that you hope he is when you take him number 11 overall. There's just not only a gap right now between them and the top teams in the league, but there's a lack of young talent coming up behind them that makes you think this is going to be any level of a quick fix.
Right. So I'll go back to the offseason with the spending, and this is where you can get into spin from these guys now. There's some truth to it, but the roster needed a ton of work to be competitive. So they went and got some guys. It's not like they got a whole bunch of super expensive old guys. They got some guys who could play for you for a few years. If Snead, best case scenario, works out, you've got him for a few years. In the NFL, again, in the NFL, you got like a year to be terrible, and then you should at least be okay the next year.
That's
just how it always is. And if you continue to be terrible, then there's something wrong with what you're doing. But Snead, Ridley's another guy who's young enough, but he's getting paid. But, I mean, he's young enough to, like, give you some more years, right? So, but I'm with you. I mean, as far as, like, who is your young on-rookie deal core, it would be Latham. You'd have to include Skoronski with hope that he's that. And I don't even – I wouldn't even throw Chig in there. He's serviceable,
he's a replaceable,
but that's about
player.
It.
Yeah.
Brownlee, McCreary, Sweat.
Yeah. But even amongst that group, like, there's
– It's small.
It's not a big group. And, like, how many of those guys are, like, foundational players? Maybe Latham?
Latham, and you hope Sweat, but I don't know. I mean, right now, Sweat's a good player,
right?
But I don't know that he'll be that.
Right.
So, no, it's – and that's exactly right with what Nick was saying, is that that's the difference between this situation and those other situations that got really good. So, the answer is – first of all, the guy we're missing, though, of course, is Levis, right?
Right.
Which I know that everyone's given up on him, but I think it's a good thing that Mason Rudolph has been meh here. He's had some moments. Like, there's just I can't see how any Titans fan right now would have any interest in seeing him quarterback if Levis is able to quarterback. I think the same thing about the Colts.
Yeah, this idea that not playing Mason Rudolph's been holding you back from a playoff spot, I think we can safely put to bed now. Like, it's not what it is. So I'm with you. Like, as somebody who is out on Levis, I would still probably rather see Levis play this weekend just to see what it is as they move forward here.
I mean, it is possible for people to improve. You
know? It is.
It happens in quarterback in this league.
I don't think that he has shown enough. You know, we talked about the young core. I don't think he's shown enough to be in that conversation. I don't think he's shown enough to prove that he belongs in there. We got somebody talking about Spears. I mean, I don't think Spears. Like, Spears is okay.
Yeah.
Spears is the second best running back on a team. He's what he is right now.
He's clearly the second best back on this team. He's pretty good. He's a third-round pick. Yeah, I mean, I think he can be part of your team. But to me, foundational.
Spears is not even close to a foundational player.
They need to be, the core. They have to be starters, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know that Spears will be a starter, like the best back on an NFL team in his career.
David says, why do you leave Simmons out? Would you say Chris Jones is foundational? Well, Simmons is not a young player.
Right. I mean, he's on his second deal. Well, yeah, when you would say Chris Jones is foundational. Yeah, look, Simmons, Landry, I mean, those guys, again.
It's foundational young player. It wasn't just
right. We're talking about guys on rookie deals who you're moving forward with. But, Simmons, Landry, Hooker,
And by the way, Simmons Ridley, is not playing like a foundation player. Like, to put him and Chris Jones in the same sentence right now is laughable. Like,
right.
They're not close to the same player.
Yeah, the answer is Chris Jones is a great player and Jeff is not a great player at this point in his career. But, yes, I would agree that if you're talking in the next few years, sure, Simmons, Landry, Hooker, you know, Cushenberry.
Yep.
I mean, some of these veterans who were getting paid, yes, they're also part of the group. But, again, these other teams that Nick was comparing, we're talking about the young guys just fresh in the league, and I think the Lions in particular. Well, the Niners, too, are great examples of, like, drafting was so good and so critical to that growth.
Well, and we've talked about it. You've missed the boat on that. And that's – ultimately, if the Titans ever get out of this, that's what it's going to have to come down to, right? Like, I mean, you can work around the edges in free agency and – who knows? Maybe they sign some veteran quarterback this offseason that immediately makes a difference. I mean, we saw them do that with Tannehill, right? Like, they were – it's a different situation, but in some ways it's similar, right? Like, you're reaching the end of the rope with Mariota, and instead of having to go draft somebody else, you brought in Tannehill, and he ended up working out. Now, maybe you can find lightning in a bottle again, but bottom line is, for them to get back into contention – they're going to have to draft their way into it. Right? That's what it's going to take if you're the Titans.
Yeah, and look, the QB thing, you know, not to get into the draft too much, but if you got the number one or number two pick and you're able to get a veteran QB, a Matthew Stafford, a Darnold, then you can trade down that pick and get a bunch more picks and just load up your roster. That's not the worst scenario.
And Marcus free agent after this year?
Ooh, that'd be great. So you
come back to where it all started.
Be
baby.
Able to
he's
watch Marcus play. No, Marcus
he's
is,
still got plenty of football left in him. He's only 30.
That's the funny thing is, you know, we make fun of the rankings. You know, that Stilly took words out of my mouth and twisted them. But the number one and number two backups in the league are got to be the number one and number two pick from 2015, right?
I will say, Jameis looked good the other day, and the one game that Marcus has played in this year, he's played really well.
He was great.
We're talking ourselves into it.
1-2, right there. Just like they were 10 years ago.
I'll tell you this. I would rather watch Marcus play quarterback than what we've seen so far this year. I can guarantee you that.
By a mile.
I would rather do it. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll have more on the Titans coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dylan on the text line. I hear that there's this really good backup quarterback playing for the Packers right now. Maybe we can bring in that guy and he could turn this team around. He could be our new version of Tannehill.
There you go.
On the text line.
Great idea.
Jordan Love.
How about that Malik Willis, though, huh?
I mean,
pretty awesome to see.
It really is.
I know for Titans fans, like, you're sick of players going elsewhere and doing well, but
yeah,
you got to be happy for that guy.
I mean, that's a great throw he made the other day.
It was.
Granted,
apparently,
Jaden Reed was totally wide open, but a great throw nonetheless.
Yeah, it was a great play.
Yeah.
He snuck out of there, but my understanding is so Willis checked to that, right?
He checked it.
He saw something.
Yeah, they drew it up on the sideline, and he checked it.
Right, right.
Yeah. So,
hey, man, good for him.
Absolutely.
You know, if you want to have a real conversation about this. There are some examples of the Titans completely blowing it and letting players go elsewhere and be great. A.J. Brown is easily the number one on the list.
That's correct.
Malik Willis, I don't believe at this point, but you know what? Again, people get better over time. He's gotten better, but I don't think he's going to be like a long-term starting quarterback.
No.
I still don't think so, but good for him.
But one thing we always talked about with him was, can he turn into a functional backup quarterback? And he has absolutely been that.
Yeah, that's – you know, think about that. Like, this summer when it was obvious, like, he's the third guy and they're trying to make it a competition, all that stuff. But that was really a question. Like, is he going to be – is someone going to embrace him as their QB too? I wasn't sure of that
at all.
I wasn't
either.
And now, actually, you know, I mean, he might have a nice market for himself, you know, as a coveted QB2 based on this small sample size.
He's
good for him.
Winning games. I got one texter that says, no more veteran quarterbacks. We need a young franchise quarterback. which I would agree with.
I get it.
I would look back through the Titans' history, though, and just think about how difficult that is to pull off. They tried it with Vince Young. Didn't work. Jake Locker. Didn't work. Marcus Mariota. Didn't work. Will Levis. Well on the path to not working right now. That doesn't mean that you stop and you give up, because eventually you got to find one in the draft that works. I'm just saying, like, it's not always just as simple as, oh, well, don't worry. You can go draft a quarterback. The hit rate right now, not very good with the Titans doing that.
It's not. Now, you look at the best teams in the NFL right now. Well, let's see. We talk about the Detroit Lions, the best team in the NFL.
They didn't draft their guy.
Right there. They didn't draft him. He was a discard. He was an absolute discard of the L.A. Rams. One of the best teams in the NFL right now, well, released by record, if you watched him last night, Russ. I mean, I'd given up on Russ. He looks pretty good. Now, most of the other teams
drafted
that are at the top, another team leading their division, the Atlanta Falcons, another guy, another example of someone who can play, you pay a lot of money for him. Another team that's right near the top, of course, we talk about him a lot, Minnesota Vikings, 5-2. Another guy who's been discarded, and look at him, a team that's been pretty good this year, Seattle Seahawks, another guy who was discarded and eventually – so, I mean
– Tampa,
it's
Baker,
another guy, there you go. And they're right.
There are multiple ways to do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like half of the good teams, if not more, have that situation. So, well, I agree, of course. Of course you want to draft a great quarterback and have him on the rookie deal and all that stuff. But some of that depends on – first of all, again, way more likely it's not going to work out. But also, in a given year, depends on what the actual draft class is.
Well, look, and beyond all that, I do think it's a fair question. If things continue to go the way they're going right now, how much confidence do you have that this current setup of Carthon, Brinker, Brian Callahan are the people to draft and develop the quarterback? I don't know what the answer to that is. But if it keeps going the way it's going right now, that's going to be a legitimate and fair question to ask by the time this all rolls around.
Yeah, I agree. That's why I know some fans are on the, please lose. Let's get the number one or number two pick train. That cannot be a half second of consideration in the building, and it won't be.
No.
They have to win as much as they can possibly win. They have to get back immediately to being competitive. And I mean, I think they're going to beat the Patriots because I don't think the Patriots are any good. But we'll see. Maybe they'll find a way to lose.
I don't think the Titans are any good either.
Well, no, I agree. But I think they're a little better than Jacoby Brissett and the Patriots. But that's if they can perform like they've performed before the Buffalo-Detroit meat grinder. I don't know if they will. But they got to win. These people running this team, they need wins.
They do. There's no doubt about it. And even if they, if they scratch out a few more wins, does it change the overall picture that much? Maybe for them it does. Like, we're probably still asking some of those same questions at the end of the year. But, I mean, if they go through the rest of this and how it's going right now and they've got one more win on their schedule, think about what we're going to be talking. I mean, there's still 10 games of this.
Right.
Think about what we're going to be talking about at the end of that.
And that's where, again, it's going to be such a challenge because, of course, no one likes to lose. These guys are going to keep trying to win, but when you're kind of out of it this early, but it really is important for the people running the team. How important is it to the players?
Yeah, absolutely. 615-737-1025. We'll have you covered all day long here on 102.5 The Game. Joseph, great stuff as always. Chasing Big Joe is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.